Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Friday morning, the 14th of August, 2020. Andrew May's with you for the next half an hour. My goodness, there's a lot of sport to get through, which is always a good thing on a Friday morning. Let's start with the footy last night. Weren't the Swans impressive and weren't GWS disappointing? A very easy 41-point victory in the end for the Swans.
Bell threads it out.
What about the Melbourne Storm? They had half their team out, couple of their superstars not playing, yet still beat the flag favourites in the Roosters.
And Jax Pappenhausen and Okar. Oh, and then Pappenhausen back to Willem. Well, how quick does Josh Adokar move? And how quick does he get rid of the ball? Melbourne score their second try. Some simply dazzling attack.
No doubt about that. They were fantastic last night, the Melbourne Storm. Meanwhile, in the A-League, the Newcastle Jets whack three past Wellington Phoenix to finish their season on a high.
You've got to be wary of that too, because there have been times when you feel like that and you end up copping a goal as well. So you just got to remain as balanced as possible.
Bernie Abini doubles the lead.
That's it for what happened on the domestic front. We'll get to what happened on the international front and overnight next on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, the Breakfast Club returns after 6 this morning. Half Whitey and Rammer with you on your Friday. Phil Murphy to jump on the line from the US. We'll check in how everything's going over in Hub Life in Orlando in the NBA. The early mail before 7, then after 7 this morning, Dean Lester and Nick Quinn are back to take a look at the Quaddie Leagues at Caulfield tomorrow. The most important half hour of your day. Of your week, really. The Friday form with Dino and Quinny today from 7. In case you missed it as well, don't forget, you can always podcast at rsn.net.au as well. Marcus Bontempelli after 7.30 this morning. Looking forward to chatting to the Dogs captain. Then after 8, the Friday footy preview with Boomer Harvey. So very packed Friday coming up for you. Don't forget, after 8.30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate, including the Friday form focus with Shark, who will no doubt attempt to tip the card again after 9 o'clock. And then after 10.30, Gareth Hall on RSN Central. Dino and Hamish are back for their half hour. Looking forward to hearing from them, plus all your Friday form leading into a massive weekend of racing. It is all starting to heat up ahead of spring. Finals time for racing is just around the corner. Let's start with the footy, though, and I tell you what, weren't GWS disappointing last night? They were dismal against a Sydney outfit that was very hungry from the outset. The final score, 10-6-66, the Swans. The Giants didn't kick a goal in the first quarter. Kicked one to half time, only had 2 goals to three quarter time, finished with 3 goals, 7 for the game, 25, the same score as the grand final last year when they were humiliated by the Tigers. It's been a lot worse since then for GWS, and they slump to another loss, just sitting inside the top eight, although Melbourne and Essendon have a chance to take over that this weekend. So things are not going so well for the Giants. Let's hear from John Longmire on what was a great win and plenty of the Swans youngsters putting their hands up as well.
I think going into the game, someone told me before, we had something like almost 650 games less experience. So we're not going to get everything right all the time. And particularly against quality teams that played last year's grand final, and we had so many young blokes playing. So, but the pleasing thing was the majority of the time we got it right, and those younger players got it right, led superbly by our co-captains. And but you know, everyone played a really strong role, and whether it was defensively, offensively, and we kept it going for 4 quarters. Which, you know, we played a quarter here and a quarter there, but we haven't really put together a performance like that for, you know, probably since round one. I think our guys have been training quite well, and at times last week against Collingwood, we were pretty good, but then at times we slipped away, which is what you're going to get it now and then. And so you just got to keep stepping forward. You know, we've got to be taking 2 steps forward. Sometimes you might take 1 step back, but you don't need to be keeping going forward. And we're finding out a lot about some players, And some of the opportunities we've given him, the sixth debutant again tonight, was giving them opportunities to come in and perform and be clear on their roles. And once again, it's not going to work every week. But when it does work, it makes them feel good.
John Longmire there speaking last night after the 41-point victory for the Swans. So a nice little boost for them. They head to four wins for the season from their 11 games so far. We'll head to Stephen Cornelio. This is what he had to say at halftime on the coverage on Fox Sports last night.
What did you make of that half?
Yeah, hopeless really. Got to get in there and find an answer. We are been in this position twice in 2 weeks and we've got to find something now. Well, I just think they want it more than us. I think if you look at the contest, we might have got back into a little bit that quarter, but they're just cutting us up with the ball going forward and just simply not good enough for
him. Hopeless. I'd like to know what he thought of the second half as well. It was a shocking game for the Giants. What did Coach Leon Cameron have to say after another disappointing loss?
Firstly, we've got to acknowledge that the Swans played a really good brand of footy and they come after us and we didn't respond as well. I mean, you know, when you have 52 inside 50s, to 32 and kick three goals. That's clearly we didn't function well ahead of the footy, which has been probably a strength for us this year, but probably the last couple of weeks we've got it in a lot more. We just didn't function ahead of the footy real well at all, and I thought their backs dominated our footy. It's just a really disappointing night, and I can't sort of sugarcoat it, Mark, because, you know, as good as they were, we were really ordinary, and you know, we got a lot of work to do over the next 6 weeks if we're even considering playing finals footy. But I have to say, yeah, I'm really disappointed. Really disappointed. Considering I thought we trained well in our main session during the week, we hadn't sort of trained like that for about 3 weeks. So I thought indicators were there, but we were ambushed early and we didn't respond. And you know, that's on me, clearly, as a coach. And the 22 that played, and so yeah, it is a disappointing, really disappointing loss, and we need to find a way to pick ourselves up, because as I said before, we're sort of where you sit on the ladder or performances like that, you don't improve, you're just going to get left behind, and clearly we've been up and down all year, and if we don't find it, then we will get left behind at the end.
What a shocker for the Giants last night. That will be dissected after 6 o'clock. Looking forward to hearing what Half Whitey and Rammer had to say on the performance last night. And Boom Harvey, of course, after 8 o'clock this morning. Let's head to the NRL world now, where it was an impressive victory by the Melbourne Storm last night, running out 24 points to 6 winners over the Roosters in a rematch of one of the greatest games ever of NRL in a home and away season. Wasn't quite the spectacle last night. Both teams had key players out. The Roosters lost even more during the match, as did the Storm. Not any of the absolute superstars, but Craig Bellamy is questioning the pace of the game and whether we're just seeing an injury toll in the NRL that's a consequence of making the game quicker.
We decided we want some fatigue in the game, but I'm not quite sure whether there's too much fatigue at the moment with the amount of teams that have got a lot of injuries, and I mean, you know, a lot of injuries. And you just have a look at the Roosters list. You know, we've probably got two of our most influential players out. And it's not just about fatigue and soft tissue injuries. It's about when people get fatigued. You know, they start putting their bodies in the wrong places to make contacts, or you know, or to make tackles, or you know, absorb the contact, and then that's where you get, you know, injured from there. So I think it's something we probably need to have a little look at, because as I said, you know, it was like a mass unit out there tonight. There was blokes getting, you know, hurt left, right and centre. But as I said, I'm really proud of the way our blokes stuck in without the two Camerons, especially. I thought I thought Jerome Hughes really stood up, and, you know, Riley Jacks was good. Paps was outstanding, and I thought Brandon done a really good job. So, you know, our playmakers, you know, really, really stood up tonight.
Another coach gone in the NRL yesterday. They are absolutely ruthless. Paul McGregor got the sack from St George. He will coach for this week, though. We won't see him after that. He's now the fourth coach to exit their team this year, with perhaps one or two more still on the horizon.
Yeah, of course. Tough couple of days. You know, the hardest thing for me is obviously the emotional side of, to the playing group and the staff. But, you know, I got through it. It's important that from now is that you show a little bit of respect that I've done a media release. I don't need to really comment too much more on what happened and how it happened other than what I've said already, which is already got. And, you know, we've got a game tomorrow. It was the right thing to do about staying on this week due to the fact that it's so late in the week, it's the day before the game. I really wanted to give Dean a chance because he's been right by my side the whole way. He's a good coach and he needs the opportunity to have a full week with the playing group. And I think the playing group and the staff need that as well.
Just before we head to the break, let's catch up with Carl Robinson. He's the coach of the Newcastle Jets. They finished their season on a high last night with a 3-0 victory over Wellington Phoenix. Despite having far less of the ball, the Phoenix dominated for large parts but couldn't put it into the back of the net, and the Jets put three past them. Jets finished their season on a high. Wellington will probably finish, or they will finish, in third position unless Western United get on a real roll and win their last two games. But, yeah, the Phoenix, disappointing way to go into the finals. Carl Robinson here, though, from the Jets after the win.
We don't try to let other teams have the ball. We want to dominate the ball. We want to control the ball. But you've got to remember the opposition, they're a good team. Wellington are a good team. They play a certain way. They've got certain players that can hurt you in certain areas. And they caused us problems. You know, the defending from my team was top class, phenomenal blocks, challenges, 1v1 defending. We got a bit of lucky at times, but sometimes you've got to be able to do that. So they're a good team, as I said, but we caused them a lot of problems as well when we had the ball with our little movements and patterns. So I thought it was a very good game of football. Obviously, a couple of goals for us we're delighted with, but overall, it was a good game of football.
Time for a break on RSN. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with all the overseas sport. There's so much to get through. Golf, cricket, NBA, Champions League, and a bit of rugby as well. Plus the rest of your footy news with more Friday Night Footy headed your way tonight. It's going to be a ripper. Port Adelaide and Geelong. It's 5:45.
This is the Breakfast Bite.
Oh, yes. And if he can get it going away to take the edge, he can be dangerous as well. There's always a double threat from the left armour. And Corran finds the outside edge of Abid Ali's bat. Pakistan, three down.
Sam Curran, a wicket on return last night, 1 for 23 from his 10 overs as rain interrupted first day at Southampton, where Pakistan limped to 5 for 126 after getting off to a shaky start, losing Shan Mahmood in the third over. So they were 1 for 6, but have stumbled their way to 5 for 126. Only 45 overs bowled on the opening day, so it was a bit off and on with the weather, unfortunately, in England. Let's hear from Sam Curran after day one. He, of course, came into the team for Ben Stokes, who's gone back to New Zealand for personal reasons.
I think it was a pretty late call, to be honest. I found out this morning, but Richie did come to chat me last night that there was a high chance of me playing. So, yeah, found out this morning. But, yeah, nice to be back on the side. Yeah, I think it was one of those days that felt really humid. Obviously, the forecast this whole week's pretty thunderstorms around, so felt really humid. The ball probably did more later on in the innings, and obviously from them being 90 for 2 with a couple of drops, we did really well to finish the day where we did. So yeah, I think a good day for the bowlers in general.
Sam Curran there speaking. Hopefully we'll get a bit more cricket on day two over there in England, between England and Pakistan. Pakistan, meanwhile, had a man make his first test appearance since 2009. Fawad Alam is into the team. He hasn't played test cricket for 3,910 days. an incredible story. Hopefully it goes okay over the next 4 days. Unbelievable stuff. We thought 700 days was a lot with Lyndon Dunn the other night, but that is taking it to the extreme, almost 4,000 days between tests. So I hope it's worth the wait for him. PGA Tour live scores at the moment. Harold Varner III is in the clubhouse and in the lead at the Wyndham Championship on the PGA Tour. He is at 8 under the card. The best of the Australians, Matt Jones, currently 1 under through 7 holes. He is in a tie for 53rd. Greg Chalmers finished his opening round at even, along with a few other big names like Jordan Spieth. Cameron Percy, who will follow through the morning, he's 1 over through the opening 8 holes. John Senden finished at 3 over the card. Cameron Davis is 3 over after 13. And Rain Gibson finished at 4 over. Aaron Baddeley's not having a good time. He's 6 over after 13 holes. So the Aussies not doing too well at the Wyndham Championship. Hopefully can turn around in the second round. The European Tour now, Thomas Peters, the Belgian, doing very well after the first round at the Celtic Classic over in Wales. 7 under the card after his opening round. The good news here, Jake McLeod, 6 under. In a tie for second. So fantastic news for the young Australian. We've followed him over the last couple of years, and hopefully he can go well towards the weekend and put in a really strong performance on the European Tour. So good luck to Jake McLeod. Some live Champions League action at the moment in the soccer world. RB Leipzig currently nil all with Atletico Madrid. This is a quarterfinal of the UEFA Champions League, considering this season there's no double legs at this stage. It's just a one-off game for these fixtures. Yesterday, Paris Saint-Germain scored twice in the last 3 minutes to beat Atalanta in an absolute cracker. Tomorrow, it's a battle of the heavyweights as Bayern Munich take on Barcelona. And then on Sunday, Manchester City take on Lyon, but currently locked at nil-all at halftime between Leipzig and Atletico Madrid. Some live scores in the NBA. The Lakers and the Kings going head-to-head at the moment. 20 seconds left in the final quarter. The Kings will close out a comfortable victory, 136-122. They lead over the Lakers. In a result earlier today, the Wizards beat the Celtics 96-90. A couple more games tipping off in about 10 minutes' time. The Grizzlies will face the Bucks and the Suns against the Mavericks. Let's head to the rugby world now. Dave Vessels has made a couple of changes for the Melbourne Rebels as they're aiming to go top of the table after this round of Super Rugby.
Yeah, Sam, I think that's what's driving us. You know, like it's I got a nice care package from my family today with a bunch of pictures of the kids and stuff like that, which was really cool. I know that there are people doing it genuinely tough over there, and I think that has become a real motivating factor for the team. And we were pleased with our performance last week, but you know, as I said after the game, you never get too up and you never get too down. We've got to reproduce that, and I'm pleased that we're getting some momentum going into the finals, which is the way you want to do it. But you know, Saturday will be a totally different contest. The Reds will be right up for it. I think, you know, for us, I think if we get the win, then we'll be top of the comp. And, you know, I'd be really proud of the guys under very difficult circumstances. We played every game away in this comp, which no other team, aside from the force, have had to do. You know, we've, as I've said a number of times, we're missing a lot of established players that have been part of our group for a long time, guys like Henry Rangi and Tom English and Gussie Cottrell and those sort of guys. And even now we're without Dane and Ryan Lawrence and guys who have played in this comp but now are injured.
Let's head back to the footy world. Dave Vessels there from the Rebels. Let's turn our attention to tonight's game, where Port Adelaide are taking on Geelong. This should be an absolute cracker. Very much looking forward to settling in on a Friday night. This being played at Metricon Stadium at 7:50. Let's hear from Chris Scott on Port Adelaide.
We've got a level of confidence in the way we're trying to play. I think a fair bit of it comes back to execution. I think most teams in the comp, I think, would have a theoretical model in mind of their game style and would have a belief that if they play that really well, it's going to stack up against the best teams. And if you don't think that, you probably should change your game style, you know, unless you're in the situation where you're just so bereft of quality personnel. And I don't think any team's in that boat. So we've got a level of confidence that the model's good enough, but the execution is much more important. And Port are a really good team, but St Kilda are a good team in good form, won, I think, the previous month of footy. So I still think we're a little way away from sort of sorting out exactly who the best teams are. I don't think we've done enough to prove that we're one of them. Port are as close as there is to a team in the comp to say, well, you know, our ladder position is justified based on our performance.
And what about the boost that the Cats got from seeing their families who came out of the transition hub yesterday in Queensland?
I can't comment individually. I haven't got my family here, but there's a boost for everyone seeing the girls come in and having some kids around the place. I haven't said to you know the girl, those that can't have their families here can live a bit vicariously by them and by their kids specifically over the next little period of time. So, yeah, maybe it's a short-term boost. We're certainly happy to see them. And it's, you know, I don't think anyone sheds a tear for AFL footballers in the current global environment, which is fair enough. I don't rail against that at all. But, you know, there have been some challenges there. It's hard to look after your family when you've got to leave at short notice with no return date. So for those guys to see the girls and the kids this morning, I don't think it could help but give some sort of boost.
Ken Hinckley now looking ahead to the Geelong clash tonight from a Port Adelaide perspective.
We have to play the game that we want to play. We understand Geelong's been such a great team and they're great weapons at the moment. Appears that they had this amazing ability to take things off sides. You know, that's our challenge. They're going to try and take some stuff off us that we hopefully can put out there that they can't stop. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full, no doubt. They've got so many strengths. You know, the most experienced team out there. You know, we heard all the numbers last week when they were playing. I think they're seven blokes over 30 and average games are 140 plus. They've got such great experience and you've got to keep at it for four quarters because their experience doesn't go away at any stage through those four quarters, and they've been a great club, led really well by Chris, and you know they're going to be hard work for any side, and it's for us tomorrow night to take it on.
To Jacob Wiedering now, good news for the Blues. He signed a deal taking him through to the end of 2025.
Really stoked to be at the club for another 4 years. It's been a rough period, you could probably say, for my first couple of years at the club, but the last 18 months has been really exciting, obviously, with the new coach, some new players coming in, and just the core group of players we have in now is really exciting. So there's some of the reasons I really wanted to stay, and I really can't see myself out of a navy blue jersey at the moment. I'm really enjoying my footy, and that's the main thing, and stoked to be here for another 4 years.
Now to Adam Simpson, who had some good news for West Coast fans on Jeremy McGovern.
Yeah, he's declared himself available, which is great. So he'll play this week. So barring any unforeseen circumstances the next couple of days, he got through training well today, and it's not one of those things that you see how it pulls up because he's not getting any assistance with it. He's pain-free, so he'll play this week.
Speaking of good news, Basher Hooley is back with the Tigers main group.
It's been an interesting 2 weeks in isolation, but could have been much worse. We had a great facility really enjoyed the moment. I think having my family up has helped me a lot. Yeah, being with the boys today, it's first training session. It feels like a young kid going back to school for his first day. Full of excitement. But, yeah, it's a great feeling to be back with the boys, and yeah, can't wait to be part of this special journey that we're all on.
Some not such good news coming out of the D's camp yesterday. Darren Burgess speaking on Channel 7 last night. First of all, on Luke Jackson, it looks like the youngster is going to miss perhaps the rest of the season.
It's not a light one, it's a serious one, and we expect that'll keep him out for anywhere between 4, 5, 6 weeks. It's just a small nick in his tendon, but given the seriousness when it comes to tendon injuries with a hamstring, we'll be taking our time with Luke.
Darren Burgess from the D's also gave us an update on where Max Gawn is at. Will he be playing this week?
Hoping that he'll get up, but we're not too sure how he'll go at the moment. In fact, that was a bit made of his injury to his teres major, which is a small muscle in his back. He's shown an unbelievable ability to play through pain. Of course, we don't want to risk him at all, and we won't be risking him.
Well, that's it for the Breakfast Bite on this